Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Some of you attend a church which uses the Apostles' Creed, and every Sunday you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit. If you're a Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian, you probably say the Apostles' Creed. It's an old creed. There are forms of the Apostles' Creed before 250 A.D., so this is an ancient creed. We call it the Apostles' Creed, not because the apostles wrote it, but because it summarizes their teaching in the Trinity. One God in three eternal persons, God the Father who made us, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God in three eternal persons. And we're starting today a series on the Apostles' Creed. And for this program, we're going to do just what's called the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Word by word, we're going to study, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So before we begin, let's pray. Father, we pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us now and that you would open our eyes to see what a loving, patient, heavenly Father you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in God the Father. First word, I. Not we, I. That means Christianity must be personal, not cultural. Is Christianity personal for you? I can say this because I'm German and I'm Lutheran, but the state of Christianity in Germany is tragic. For hundreds of years, the state church of Germany, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden is the Lutheran Church. And people see the inside of the church three times in their life. Hatch, match, and dispatch. When the baby's born, you get them baptized. Then you match them at marriage. Then you dispatch them at their funeral. And that's Christianity? No, it isn't. You know, I know a dear Christian woman, 100 years old, from Norway. She moved to America in the 1940s. Periodically, she would go back and she'd come back. Oh, Pastor Tom, it's so sad. When I was a little girl, so many people went to church. None of my relatives go to church anymore. And this is called cultural Christianity. And no, the first word of the Apostles' Creed is I. And you know, I almost don't blame the Scandinavians for not going to the state church. And I mean, the bishop of the Lutheran bishop of Stockholm is a partnered lesbian. So the churches are empty in Europe, and that's tragic. So I hope you're not a cultural Christian. I hope Christianity is personal for you. And there's a way to test it. Let me ask you this. Do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you ever witness? Do you talk to people about Jesus? Do you go to church? Is your Christianity personal? Next word, I believe in. Not about. I believe in God, which simply means I trust God. According to the Gallup poll, 87% of Americans believe in God. Well, if that's true, why is America such a moral mess? Do you know that 18% of babies now are aborted? Almost 1 in 5 of all pregnancies in America end in abortion. We've got pornography everywhere. America is the major producer of pornography worldwide. And if 87% of Americans believe in God, why is America such a moral mess? Because 87% of Americans do not believe in God. They believe about God, but they don't believe in God. When I say I believe in God the Father, I don't mean I believe He's up there. I trust Him is what the word believe in means. There was a missionary overseas who was working with a tribe trying to translate their language, the New Testament, into their language. But he couldn't find a word in their language that meant believe. Until finally one day the chief of the village came, sat down in a chair, he was tired, and he said one word which meant, "I rest my weight here." And the missionary knew his word. To believe not about, but to believe in God the Father means I rest on Him. I trust on Him. I mean, for instance, here is a little stool. It's one thing for me to believe the stool exists. It's another thing for me to sit on it. And when you say, I believe in God the Father, the devil believes God the Father exists. Lots of people know God exists. But to be saved, you have to believe in God. You trust Him with your life. So, an atheist falls over the cliff. He's falling to his death, and here's a branch sticking out of the rock. He grabs onto the branch, and he holds onto it for a long time. His arms are starting to get tired, and he's going to let go, and he's going to die, but he looks up. Anybody up there? God, if you're up there, help. A voice comes from heaven. My child, let go of the branch, and I will catch you. The atheist says, anybody else up there? You know the definition of saving faith? It's not that you know God's up there. Everybody knows that. The devil knows that. Saving faith is I let go of me trying to save myself, and I trust God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to save me. That's what faith is, trust. I believe in God. Next word is God, singular. Here's the next lesson. We are monotheists. Mono means one. Theos means God. Christians are monotheists. We believe in one God. Jews, Muslims, Christians are all monotheists. Hindus are polytheists, poly meaning many. Hindus and Mormons believe in many gods. And then Buddhism and New Age people tend to be pantheists. Pan means everything. So everything is God. The houses, the trees, you, me, we're all God. In fact, I saw a sign near a church once that said, we are all God. I remember in Bible class once, the professor held up an eraser from the chalkboard and said, you know, if you were a pantheist, you'd be worshiping this because they think everything is God. I've quoted this before, but one of the worst things Oprah ever said when she had her TV show, she said, I was raised Baptist. I was raised to believe that Jesus died for my sins. But now I believe Jesus came to earth to get us in touch with our own inner Christ consciousness. In other words, we're all God. We're all the Christ. I was on vacation years ago in California. I'm walking through the shopping mall, and here's an elderly, older woman sitting at a table eating, and I think she kind of stopped this other older guy that was walking by, maybe. And I just hear part of the conversation, and she says to him, do you not sense that we are merging into the ultimate? And I think the older guy was going, but, you know, I thought, I'm in California, but this is pantheism, that we're all one. You're God, I'm God, everything is God. And when we say the creed, I believe in God singular, that there is only one God, and I'm not Him. I believe in God, next words, the Father. The words Father means God wants a loving relationship with you. I remember a lady said to me once, she said, I was raised in a church where they preached that God is our judge. When I came to see that God is my loving Heavenly Father, she said, it changed my life. Now, it is true, God will be our judge, but do you know the main image of God in the New Testament? It's Father. One scholar wrote these words. Listen to this. We who were raised in the church have heard since we were little that God is our Father. But we need to let this astounding concept come to us afresh. Jesus' teaching here was radical. Here's the teaching. The God who created the heavens and the earth, the holy God who by rights could damn each one of us for our sins, he says, I want you to call me Father. Call me Abba, which means daddy. So there was a preacher that said this story that I heard. And he said, one day I preached on the fatherhood of God. A little boy came up after church with tears in his eyes. Well, mister, if God is like a father, you can keep him. And he started crying. And the preacher said, what's wrong, little boy? Well, my dad comes home drunk. He beats up my mother. He hates my brother and I. And if God is like a father, you can keep him. And the preacher said, little boy, I'm so sorry. That's your situation. What do you wish your father was like? Oh, I wish our father would love us and take care of us and be kind to us and spend time with us and give us things and be nice. And that's what I wish my dad was like. And the preacher said, little boy, that is God the Father. I believe in God the Father, next word, Almighty. Do you know the three omnis of God? The word omni means all. Number one, God is omnipotent, omnipotent. That means he is all-powerful. God is omnipresent. That means he exists everywhere. God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. God is all-powerful. He's all-present. He's all-knowing. In other words, if we get the fact that God is almighty, we wouldn't worry so much. And if you're worrying right now, just put your faith that God the Father's in control. He's almighty. He's got whatever you're going through under control. Christians, we need to believe that. I remember hearing a preacher say this years ago, and I love this. Follow this. This preacher said, in the beginning, God took a big lump of clay. And then God rolled up his sleeves and he took that lump of clay and he rolled it out into some small balls and he threw them out into the space to create the heavens and the earth. Then he took a little ball called the earth and with his fingernail he carved out the great ocean depths. He carved the heights of the mountains. He flicked the dust from his fingers to cause more stars to fill the sky. He looks back at the earth. He fills the oceans with water and every kind of teeming creature. He populates the land with vegetation and all kinds of animals of all sorts. And all in his hand, God maintains and sustains all the galaxies, all the solar systems, all the planets that spin throughout infinite space. Now, is God big enough for your problem? That's what we're saying when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Last words for today. Maker of heaven and earth. That means there is design and purpose to the universe. The universe just didn't bop up after gazillions of years by itself. No, there's a design to the universe. God made the universe, so there's a purpose to it. Let's talk about the design of the universe and the purpose. First, the design. I'm sitting next to a man on the plane. He finds out I'm a pastor, and he says, I'm a doctor. I became a Christian in med school. I said, well, what converted you? He said, when I started to study how intricately designed the human body is, I had to conclude there's a designer. A Christian and an atheist are walking along the beach. They find this pocket watch in the sand. The atheist picks it up, brushes it off, and he says, isn't this a beautiful watch? Yeah. Oh, look how beautifully designed this watch is. And the Christian says, oh, I don't think anybody designed that watch. Atheist says, well, look, and he pops the back open, look how the gears, this is a perfectly designed watch. And the Christian says, oh, I don't think anybody made that watch. What? Well, you know, after gazillions of years of the ocean pounding the sand, it came up with this watch. And the atheist said, of course not. And the Christian said, bingo, the universe is so more intricately designed than a pocket watch But you're willing to say it just popped up all by itself. No, there's a designer. There's design to the universe. And the other thing we say, there's purpose to the universe. There's purpose to you. You know, and now and then I'll counsel someone who's suicidal. And there's various reasons. Some people have guilt. But a lot of people, I have no purpose. I don't know why I'm here. I have a friend who I think he grew up with a man now who lives in Arizona, who's extremely wealthy now. But he said to my friend, "Is this it? I've made all this money, and is this it?" It reminded me of the old Peggy Lee song, "Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, let's keep dancing, break out the booze, etc." And people kind of go nuts if they don't have a purpose in life. When we say the words, "I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth," that means he put design to the universe. He put purpose into the universe. I will tell you, Christian, rejoice in the fact that you have a purpose. And you know what your purpose is? This is from Isaiah chapter 43. God says, "I created you for my glory." 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "You're chosen to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You have a purpose. You have meaning. Praise God for that. Once upon a time, there was a king who loved to hear stories. But sadly, every story came to an end. So the king issued an edict. "If someone can tell me a story that has no end, I'll let you marry my daughter. You can have half of my kingdom. But if the story comes to an end, you'll lose your head." Well, the story goes that some people did line up in front of the palace, and the storyteller would go in and he'd tell the story. But eventually, the story would end, and off with his head. Finally, a young man comes. "King, I will tell you a story that has no end. There was a huge mountain of sand. An ant comes along and moves one piece of sand. Then he comes back and he moves another grain of sand. Then he came back and moved another grain of sand. Then he came back, and after hours of this, the king says, 'I give up. You can have my daughter, half of my kingdom.'" The point of that story is, if a story doesn't have a point, a purpose, a meaning, you go crazy. And if your life doesn't have a point, a purpose, or meaning, you go crazy. Christian, when we say the words maker of heaven and earth, what I mean by that is God made me. He has a purpose for me. I know someone whose mother told him, "You know, you were a mistake. Your father and I only were planning on 3 children. And then you came along. You were an accident." And that, I think that hurt him. And I said to him, "You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. God designed you. God made you. You're here for a purpose." And now and then I'll hear an older person say, "Oh, you know, Pastor, all my relatives are dead. I'm 95 years old. I don't know why God still has me here." And I say, because God still has a purpose for you. God's got a purpose for you till the day you die. All right. Let's put it all together. Your Christian faith must be personal. Believe in, I rest upon, I put my trust in one God, the Father. He wants a loving relationship with you. Father Almighty, he can do anything for you. So stop worrying and put your trust in him. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, which means you have a purpose, the universe has a purpose, and we're designed to live for the glory of God and to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Next time we'll do "I Believe in God the Son." See you then.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question.
And Mona, I got to stop you. I forgot a sermon point. So let me make that sermon point. So I'm going to do this. Watch this.
Okay.
Is this bothering you at all?
No.
It's bothering me. And you know why this bothers me?
Why?
Because I'm wasting the Kleenex. And the point I was going to make, our lives are so much more important than a box of Kleenex. Don't waste your life. You're only on earth once.
That's right.
And we're all going to go to eternity soon. use your life to live for the glory of God. That's the point I was going to make.
Good illustration.
Now, there you go.
First question, is God everyone's father?
He is not. Jesus in John chapter 8 said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." And the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we were born children, you know, we were, past tense, children by nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We all start out kind of children of the devil, born in original sin, children of a fallen nature. We become children of God by faith in Christ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our pastor prayed to God as our mother during the service. Is that okay, since we don't believe God is literally a male?
You know, sometimes you go to these liberal churches now, and our mother in heaven, who's got the right to change Jesus' teaching like that? That's evil.
True.
It's arrogant. And you and I used to be part of the liberal ELCA Lutheran Church. Their new cranberry-colored hymnal has gotten rid of all the masculine references for God in the Psalms. And so, Mona... I was out in South Dakota, staying at a Bible camp. Near the Bible camp was an ELCA Lutheran church. I went there on Sunday morning. The opening hymn from the new green cranberry hymnal is, "Mothering God, you gave me birth," and we were worshiping God the Mother. The preacher gets up to preach, and he says, "I don't know why people get so upset praying to God as our mother. I guess it's 2,000 years of sexism in the church. But if you'd like to talk to me about this, I'll be at the door, and we'll shake hands and we can talk." Well, I just went to church. I hate confrontation. Mm-hmm. But during the church, my heart starts going like this. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I'm supposed to say something. So I go up and I shake his hand, and I was nice, and I said, "You know, I think the reason we don't want to pray to our mother in heaven is not 2,000 years of sexism, but because Jesus taught us to pray our Father who art in heaven." Mm-hmm. He gets this pained look on his face and says, "Can you go over there and I'll come talk to you." And so I waited till everybody shook hands and we politely had it out. But how arrogant. Mm-hmm. And one more thing on this. There's a very liberal Presbyterian church in downtown Minneapolis. They are now putting their service on Sunday afternoon on television. It is so bad. Mm-hmm. One preacher got up one Sunday and said, "You know, the pastors at Westminster Presbyterian don't refer to God as male anymore." Mm-hmm. So you, in a sermon, good luck on hearing about God as Father. Mm-hmm. They won't even use the word He. It's all God, 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 God. Jesus taught us our Father who art in heaven.
That's right.
And you know, Mona, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so how did Westminster Presbyterian sing a hymn? I wrote it down. It was that bad. Here's the hymn they sang. "Mother, brother, holy partner, Father, Spirit, only Son, one in three and three in one." Well, it's not three in one, it's six in one. Mm-hmm. If you're going to worship God as our mother, brother, this is craziness. Mm-hmm. And one more thing. I mean, when I was an ELCA Lutheran years ago, our bishop got up. We open our convention in the name of the Father and the Mother and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's not in the Bible. Mm-mm. But this, we have enlightened people who are bishops now. And then... And this was really tragic. I went to an ELCA Lutheran church years ago, and the woman preacher gets up and says, "You know, a woman came to me for counseling, and she had a difficult relationship with her father. So I said to her, 'You know, it might be hard for you to call God your father, so let's just pray to God as our mother.' And you know why that made me angry? Here's a dear, broken woman who needs a loving Heavenly Father, and this enlightened preacher just took him away from her. That makes me angry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is God literally a male? We don't believe God the Father has genitals. We're not talking like that. But God revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We do not have the right to change that."
That's right. That's sad, isn't
well,
it?
Well, one more.
Okay.
I live near a liberal Methodist church. I went there one Sunday just to visit. The pastor got up. They had two pastors. The black pastor from Africa baptized one baby in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit was fine. Then the senior white pastor gets up. "I baptize you in the name of the one who creates all things and the Son and the Spirit." Mm-hmm. Did you catch what he got rid of God the Father? Mm-hmm. So I wrote him a note.
Good.
And I found his P.O. box in the church, and I put the note. Pastor, Jesus' last words on earth were to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't have the right to change mm-hmm. that. So, yes, we worship the Father.
If they change that, what else do they change?
Yeah, that's everything else.
That's right. Did God create the world out of nothing?
Yes, it's a Latin phrase called ex nihilo, out of nothing. You know, there are some religions, Christians are what's called eternal monasts, mm-hmm. monists, mon meaning one. We believe only one is eternal, and that's God. There are some religions that are mm-hmm. what's called eternal dualism. Two things are eternal, God and matter. And so they believe God's always been here, but somehow the material world has also been here. Mm-hmm. Christians don't believe that. We believe only God is eternal, and he made the world out of nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did God create the devil? And has the devil always been here like God has always been here?
Again, there are some religions, eternal dualism. God and the devil have always existed, not in Christianity. Mm-hmm. Only the God has always existed. Did God create the devil? He must have, because mm-hmm. God created everything. Now, the theory is that Satan was originally a good angel who fell and rebelled. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good theory. We don't know for sure, because it's not super spelled out in Scripture. But only God's eternal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another question. It is hard for me to accept my looks. Does God create babies with defects?
You know, Mona, let's say you're born and your child, your baby's born and it's blind.
Right.
Did God do that? Well, Moses is at the burning bush, yeah. and Moses says, I don't want to go talk to the mm-hmm. chosen people. I can't talk mm-hmm. very well. And God says, Moses, who makes man mm-hmm. deaf, dumb, seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Mm-hmm. So hard as it is, if your child is born blind or whatever, God is in control and can bring good out of that even. He's got a purpose to everything.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is there a Bible verse that says abortion is wrong?
Well, yes, there is. First of all, the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. I mainly point people to Psalm 139 about how God knit the baby together in its mother's womb. So, yes, abortion is a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about aborting your baby, don't. That's a child of God in there. And I just urge you, if you had to give up the baby for adoption, that's mm-hmm. fine. But don't abort that baby. Read Psalm 139, verses 14 to 16.
Yes.
And Mona, what's horribly tragic, like we talked about the liberal churches, the ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, mm-hmm. the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, these churches are pro-choice, and the ELCA Lutherans pay for abortions mm-hmm. with offering dollars for any reason. That's one of the reasons we left the ELCA mm-hmm. years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today. God bless you. And remember, you can watch our past shows on pastorstudy.org. That's two S's. Until next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.